From the land of Grand Hoot University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the third day of March 2021. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the markets with Jackie Vakes, discuss crop insurance decisions in ARC PLC with Gary Schnittke, and look at the weather forecast with Drew Lerner.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
May corn for the day finished down 9 3/4 at $5.35 at a quarter. July at $5.24, 8 3/4 lower. And December at $4.73 and a half, down 2 1/4 cents. May soybeans $14.07 and a half, a nickel lower. July down 7 1/4, $13.91 and a half. A new crop November $12.24, down 5 3/4. Bean meal $2.90 lower. The bean oil up 12 cents. Soft red winter wheat a dime and a quarter lower at $6.56. The hard red at $6.17 and a half, down 9 1/2 cents. Live cattle futures a 2 1/2 lower at $1.1940. The feeders at $1.37 even, up 47 1/2, and lean hogs $2.57 and a half higher. Jackie Vakes from Total Farm Marketing now joins us to talk about what happened in Chicago and take a look at the marketplace in general. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. Interesting day at the markets. You know, these markets right now remind me of Great America. One day up, one day down, or maybe two, you know, and that's just what your gut is doing every single time too, you know. So I'm sure all of our listeners are experiencing the Great America syndrome right now too, because, you know, it's hard to, I guess, resist the emotional reaction to it, especially at the farm level, to say, oh my goodness, you know, this isn't going to keep up and I missed everything, you know, that type of thing. And so this is just a typical market prior to the March report when you have a year like this, where especially when that March report, you know, the March report is usually a yawner. You know, you could take a nap probably, not this year. When you got tight supplies this year, you know, everything will be anticipated. And then the minute that we have that report out, we'll be headed down to the crop planting report and grain stocks report at the end of the month. And that's where the focus will move to rapidly, because, you know, that grain stocks report is the only real solid numbers that we have from a usage standpoint. And so everybody will be waiting to see what that has to say.
Will the trade be expecting that next Tuesday's WASDE figures show an increased export demand for corn and or soybeans?
I think that they are. Whether that necessarily will happen is another question. I think, you know, you look at the, we've kind of leveled off a little bit on sales as of late. And so I do think that we'll see a little bit of a bump. I don't think it's going to be huge, you know, from that standpoint. But I do think it would be justified in that respect. You know, one of the questions that people would be, you know, that are probably asking when they look at the marketplace, you know, is have we gone high enough now, you know, to basically ration what we have left? And I'd like to be able to say yes, but I really don't think so, especially when you talk about black box buying, investment, money coming in, you know, to look for a better yield, all of those types of things that drive the market in addition to fundamental stuff. And so that it's going to be a really interesting spring, I can tell you that much.
Is Informa come out with some new numbers?
They came out with some world numbers, is what they did, Todd, and kind of interesting too. I mean, you know, they are not implying what the world board is going to say. What they're saying is this is what we're seeing. So they're saying that they reduced Brazilian corn production. They increased Argentina corn production. When it comes to China, they increased their corn production to 266 million. And that's an interesting number because, you know, you can only run off the absolute numbers you have, but there's a lot of rumors around that their production is probably only going to be 230 some million. Argentina's wheat production was up 100,000. Brazil's wheat production up 200,000, which I thought was interesting. And when you look at Brazil's soybean production, it went up to 136 million metric tons. And that's a lot. Let's just put it that way. And that's much higher than where we currently are, and even much higher than what Dr. Cordonnier thinks it's going to be. But nobody knows for sure till we get to the end. They also increased soybean production for Argentina. And I mean, they have to increase. I think that these are easy guesses from the standpoint of a lot more acres being put into that type of crop.
What are you thinking about crop insurance?
Well, I mean, you know, these are heck of a numbers, 458 for corn, 1187 for beans. It certainly should keep us from going way too low. I mean, I look at 1187 on November beans now as an additional support level, you know, and so because, you know, the word around the commercials is, you know, that if we get below insurance prices, people aren't going to sell. You know, they don't feel they have to. And so it'll be interesting to see how it all comes out. What bothers me is this. Everybody wants a high price. Everybody wants a high price. But, you know, with a high price come a lot of things that are not very positive to the bottom line. And, you know, we know what happened when we went up so high the last time. I mean, seed prices increased and never went down. Machinery prices increased, didn't go down. And so even now we know crop insurance prices are increasing. And so those are things that bother me because it's, you know, they kind of fall through the cracks sometimes. In other words, you know, you're just so excited about the current situation that you're not thinking about what's going to necessarily cost down the road. And we've seen the cost be extremely high to our farm population. And so I just, I'll be happy if we don't go wild like we did the last time, even though it would be nice to say that we saw $8 corn again. I don't think it's necessarily in the game for right now. Let's just put it that way. A lot of other things have to happen.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
Have a great day.
That's Jackie Vake. She is with Total Farm Marketing. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Gary Schnitke now joins us to discuss the crop insurance decision and tomorrow's webinar that is free. We'll tell you how to register for that. That's at 11 o'clock. You've been listening to me talk about that for a week now. Hey, Gary, thank you for being with us. First, let's start with the crop insurance numbers. They're $4.58 for corn and $11.87 for soybeans.
Much higher than last year. So that $4.58 compares to $3.88 last year. So we are looking at significantly higher guarantees on both corn and soybeans.
So those guarantees mean that we will have higher premiums. So will the volatility that came in the last five trading days of the month of February. What that number end up being?
Yeah, so the number for corn, the volatility is 0.23. That happens to be above the volatility for last year, which was 0.15. That is going to raise our premiums significantly, both the higher projected price and the higher volatility. But just to give you a feel, last year in the listener area, many people purchased an RP 85% policy that cost somewhere between, well, let's say $15-ish per acre, and you could make it more if you did that with basic and optional units. But that $15 premium last year will be roughly $25 this year. So roughly $10 more per acre at the 85% level on an enterprise unit. So,
and that covers $100 more income.
Yep, that will do cover $100 more revenue because your projected price, which goes into the guarantee, goes up as well.
So the question then for producers, is it worth it? And you've been working through a couple of options for them to think about. What are the options they might consider?
Yeah, first off, I would say it's probably worth it because you're going to be protecting a higher revenue level. So if at all possible, think about that. But many farmers sort of have a budget in mind. If you want to keep in that $12 to $18 an area, you're going to have to drop down from 85% to 80%, or roughly 5%. And that's probably the case if you did 80% last year, you're going to have to drop down to 75% to keep your premium about the same. Again, the good thing about dropping from 85 to 80 is you're probably still going to have a higher guarantee this year than last year at 80% versus 85% last year because of the higher prices.
So that's just an apple-to-apples comparison, but does not include the SCO and ECO.
Yep, that does not include SCO and ECO. So you could add SCO and ECO, and if you want to pay $20+. You can add ECO 95%. You can lower that by lowering the protection factor, but you're looking at premiums that are relatively high. So, but you can use that to provide additional protection for your crop. Those products, ECO over time, a 90% product in central and northern Illinois will pay in about 50% of the years, and will tend to pay, if you pay in $10, will pay back $16 over time. Of course, you got the $10 or the 50% of the times when you pay $10 in premium and don't get anything back. ECO at the 95% level, which will provide 95% county coverage down to 86%, excuse me, will have a premium at the full protection factor of about $25 to $30 per acre. It'll play in two-thirds of the years, and over time will return $40-ish dollars per acre. So you will make tend to pay out more than it pays in over time, but obviously you get that one-third of the time when you're paying in a $28 premium and not getting much back. Nothing back, in fact.
As you said, and I'll clarify just a bit here, pays out about two-thirds of the time and essentially pays out more than you actually pay in on the premiums.
Yep. So ECO is subsidized at the revenue level at a 44% rate. So that will cause those products to pay more out over time than pay in. Again, this year, I think for a lot of farmers, it's going to come down to how much you want to pay for premium. First off, are you comfortable paying a $25 an acre premium? If you are, in northern and central Illinois, you're looking probably at a RP enterprise level, 85%. Or RP 80% plus ECO and SCO. If you're willing to pay more, you know, up to $50 an acre, you can add ECO at the highest level. Now, over time, you'll pay more in than you pay out, but one third of the time, you'll spend $50 if it's a normal year. And have an expense of $50 in farmer paid premium.
I suspect by the time we get to tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. when this webinar takes place that I'll moderate and you'll be there for, many farmers will have paperwork in front of them to look at as they're thinking about their own crop insurance. Will this be easier to understand with a whole bunch of presentation materials that you put forth?
We hope so. That's our goal, right? It's still so, yeah. And we will actually what we will do, and part of that webinar is talk about an 85% policy, you know, with that $25 premium, show what you get for that, and then show some of the alternatives to that policy, and that will help make the decision. Again, $25, you can get a very good coverage in northern and central Illinois. And if you want to pay more, you can get more. But again, you know, once you get above that, you're cutting significantly into your return. That during a normal year, you're going to have that expense and no return from it.
I think this all, at least what you've been putting together, follows along. So yesterday on the FarmDoc site, and folks can go find this, you put up some of the alternatives, I believe, that you'll discuss tomorrow. So if people don't have their own paperwork, even if they do, they probably should go back to the FarmDoc site at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu, find the latest article from Gary. It should be there on the front page. It might not be the top one this afternoon and tomorrow, but it'll be on the front page. I'll read through that, and then tomorrow during the webinar, you'll kind of go through, I take it, a couple of those options, and producers can ask questions help you as well. Just takes an hour. Webinar is free. If you're at the Farm Doc Daily website, you can see the webinar link and a way to register there. Or if you just go to willag.org, you'll find the placard. And it also has a link just above it the Twitter account that you can go ahead and get yourself registered. So hopefully we'll see you tomorrow. Gary, thank you so much for being with us today.
You're welcome.
Gary Snitke is an agricultural economist at the University of Illinois. Again, you can get yourself registered for tomorrow's Farm Doc Daily webinar on crop insurance, the ARC PLC decision 2. That at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Look for the webinar section or go to willag.org and scroll down until you see the Farm Doc Daily webinar placard. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Let's check in now with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City to see what's been happening in the growing regions across the planet. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon. Sunny and pleasant here. I hope it's that way over there, too.
It is. Just, you know, it's been really great for a while, and it looks like it's going to stay that way. In the United States, what do you see for the next, I don't know, 5 to 10 days?
Probably the most important thing that's going to take place is some rain in hard ribbon or wheat country. That very same area that took on the significantly negative temperatures a couple of weeks ago with little snow on the ground should get some moisture, maybe, gosh, 2/10 to 8/10 of an inch, some localized amounts to an inch and a half in Kansas and Colorado and north central Oklahoma. So if there is plant damage there without winter kill, this will be an excellent opportunity to set some new tillers and change the outlook maybe down the road. So keep an eye on that area. There's a couple of follow-up systems that are coming up, too. They won't be quite as far to the west, but there will still be places in Oklahoma and Kansas that do real well with moisture down the road. The northern plains will also get a chance for some moisture. You know, they're still drought-stricken in a big part of that area up there, all the way up into Canada. And they will get a chance for at least one storm. And that's probably going to occur at midweek next week. Maybe put a little snow and rain down. That'll be really helpful in at least settling the dust. It's not going to fix the drought, but it will at least change the psyche a little bit for some of those producers up there. And then in the heart of the Midwest, it's an old-fashioned wet weather pattern that's coming up starting next week. We've got three storm systems that'll move across the heart of the Midwest and make the soil saturated. Maybe even enough runoff in a few spots for some minor flooding to occur. It won't be as serious as that which occurred in Kentucky or Tennessee here over the past week, but there will be a lot of wet field there, and we will make the Delta wet again. Not that it isn't now, but they will have a few days of drying before they get the next round of moisture. And the same is true for the southeast corner of the country. Now, South Texas, I understand 3% of the corn crop is in the ground. And that's down from 7% in average. And that southern part of the state is very dry, along with West Texas. And so we're going to be waiting for better rains to occur. It won't be long before they start hyping about that a little bit. I think there's going to be a real serious threat for some of the dry land crop in the southern plains.
Turn your attention to some of the other growing regions around the planet, since we're feeling like spring here in the United States. Still, well, maybe 20 days or 18 away from that officially beginning, but it's close. And I want to know what conditions are like, for instance, in France and Ukraine, Kazakhstan, all the way into China.
Yeah, you know, there are a lot of places there in Europe and Asia are really in fairly good shape for this time of the year. Europe has good soil moisture from one end of the continent to the other. There is only a couple little minor pockets of dryness around, so I don't think that's going to be an issue for a bit, and the outlook looks favorable for them. I think parts of Russia and Ukraine, it's all hidden. Right now, when you look at the topsoil, it looks moist for most areas. Even Russia's southern region has seen some recovery, but you have to be really careful here because if you go very deep into the soil, you run into dryness again. We still have a lot of droughty conditions down deep in the ground from portions of Turkey through Ukraine and Russia's southern region into Kazakhstan. And so even though those areas will have a good start to the growing season, if they don't get regular occurring precipitation in the spring, they will run right back into droughty conditions again. So we're going to be watching that. I think they have a fair chance of seeing halfway decent spring weather for a while. We'll see what happens later down the road. China, China is probably wetter today in the North China Plain and the Yellow River Basin area than I've seen it in many spring seasons. For this early in March to have saturated soil is highly unusual. And what may end up happening is we may pull that winter wheat crop out of dormancy a little bit sooner than usual. They normally have to wait for seasonal rains to come in late April and May before they can get the crop to come around. With all the moisture they've got right now, all they need is a little warmth, and that crop will green up and start developing faster than usual. That sounds pretty good, unless there's a cold surge coming up down the road, and we'll have to watch that once that crop breaks dormancy, because there might be a risk of damage somewhere down the road. India, I think most of India's winter crops have not had quite the moisture they had last year. It's still a good crop, don't get me wrong, but it's not as good as it was last year, and probably going to have to shave down some yield there. It's just too many pockets of dryness during their reproductive process, which is now mostly complete. The crop is filling.
And then in South America, first crop soybeans are coming out very slowly, partially because of the late planting season, but in part because I think the weather's not cooperated. Will things get better in Brazil?
They will probably not change a lot as we go forward through the next couple of weeks. Waves of precipitation will continue to come and go across that country. It'll be a mix of rain and sunshine. And, you know, if we weren't in the midst of trying to harvest the soybean crop and planting safrinha corn, this would be a really good environment. But because the pressure is on, we've already moved beyond the optimal planting dates for safrinha corn, and we're losing some yield potential as time moves along. There's a lot of pressure to get the crop in the ground. Of course, we can't do that till the soybeans are out. Mato Grosso, I think, was 52% harvested last Friday compared to 84%. So they're a ways behind. And the weather is not going to cooperate real well. So it'll be a slow process for getting the rest of those beans out and the safrinha corn in. Other areas in Brazil, favorably moist, a good mix of weather in general. There's no dryness issues across that country. So the production potential still look very, very good. Now, of course, Argentina still is fighting a drought. It hasn't been nearly as severe as folks had feared. But these last 7 days have been very warm and dry in quite a bit of the country. And it looks like we've got at least another week and probably 10 days of similar conditions. That crop is in the midst of filling and maturing. I think we got a little bit of late reproductive conditions occurring in a few crops. But for the most part, we're filling. And so we may shave off a little yield there, too, before the weather turns around. Of course, there's not enough time left for the crops to really benefit from better weather. So that's pretty much the status there.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
You bet. Have a good day.
You too. That's Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.